Also, everybody should grab a weekly planner this week. There's a little self-evaluation that I'd like for everyone to do. So we printed extra copies this week so everyone could have a copy. So, avail yourself to that. Turn with me in your Bible to John 13, if you will, this morning. I found 11 resolutions that everyone should consider. I found them to be very good. Let me share them with you. Number one, spend more time with meaningful conversations. In other words, conversations that don't have anything to do with the Chiefs or the weather or how's it going. I mean some meaningful conversations where you maybe talk about the things of God, where you talk about building relationships, something a little more substantial than just chit-chat. Number two, complain less. It's all part of number two, and do more. The more we complain, the less we do. The more we do, the less we complain. Number three, worry less, which is followed by number four, pray more. In fact, that's a scripture. Philippians says that we don't have to worry about things, but that we should pray about those things. Five, threw this in here because it's on the list. Listen to more new music. Now, I like old music, but you know what? You know, there's still people receiving revelation from God. Every song that we sang from the past was new at some point, and somebody had to adopt that. And so you're probably, to listen to new music, you're going to have some young friends. Because I don't know where to look for new music, but somehow my 20-something-year-olds all know the new stuff. And so it will force you also then to have some younger friends. Listen to some new music. Number six, cut others more slack. For me, that would be especially while I'm driving. Number seven, cut yourself more slack. Number eight, read more. Number nine, this is going to be difficult for some of you. Challenge your own presuppositions. In other words, seriously consider opposite viewpoints. Some of you only read and only listen and only follow things that you already agree with. Therefore, you're missing a viewpoint. Let's throw out political. I really don't believe there's an evil, maniacal, intention on either side. I believe both sides of the issue just see things completely differently, and they believe there's an absolute different solution to the same problem. And you'll lighten up a little bit if you actually would consider that other viewpoint every once in a while. I make it a habit, if I read from some right-wing, news site, I also then read from the more liberal or left or progressive websites so I could see what they're saying about the same issue. And I just think it's a more honest way to live our lives, and it will make us less angry. Oh, just give me an amen, even if you don't agree with me. Spend less time on your phone. Number 10. How many of you remember last week? A guy in San Diego walked off the cliff staring at his phone to his own death. We got a problem. We're in Chicago. People just bump into you. Because they're doing this. They just literally run into you. So let's try to spend less time on the phone. Okay, this isn't going very well. All right. I guess what I'm talking about, things that you're holding near and dear to your heart. That's why. Now, number 11, share more meals with people you love. Everybody can get into that. Share more meals. And number 12, which leads us into today, walk the Jesus way. Make a commitment that this year you're going to walk the Jesus way. And let me just say, love. Love is the Jesus way. 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. So let's look at John 13 and let's see what Jesus had to say about this love thing. John 13, verse 34. And we read this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, by loving one another, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's pray. Father, I ask today, I ask that you would teach us what it means to live and to walk in love, not only with you, God, but also with one another. Because when Jesus was asked, "What is the most important commandment?" he answered immediately, "You shall remember the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it," Jesus said. "And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself, and there's no commandment greater than these." So, Father, I'm asking today that whatever we know about love, that you would expand that knowledge. You would expand that revelation. But, Father, that we would walk out not being more informed, but more inspired to action. Not that we would know more, just more about love, but that we would actually walk out this building and be more loving. Loving one another, loving you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The defining quality of an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ is love. More than any other thing that the world should be observing about the church, about disciples of Jesus Christ, about Christians, is love. I would dare say that isn't not the first thing that outsiders would say about the church. Therefore, it's our responsibility to correct that. Because Jesus said, "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples because of the love that you have for one another." And if God is anything, God is love. The greatest commandment is to love God with our entire being and to love other people as we love ourselves. The defining quality of following Jesus is walking in love. Look with me to Philippians chapter 2, if you will, please. And this sermon is heavily loaded with scripture today, so I hope you can look at your phone now if you'd like to. Open up your Bible app and follow along. Or even better, you could just download the Cornerstone Church app, and we have a Bible there. We have daily chapel there. If you happen to miss us, like, there's people watching us by live stream right now. You could watch us by live stream through the Cornerstone Church app. You can go back and listen to last Sunday's sermon, watch last Sunday's sermon through that app also if you missed it. I mean, it's chock full. You can go and look at Christmas program pictures on that. It's a wonderful tool, and it's very, very inexpensive for the church to operate that application, and it's just such a wonderful thing. You can open with me in your Bible, or you can follow along right along with the Bible that's on the internet there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. So this is how love works in making decisions. In making decisions, we must always ask, how will this decision affect other people? If we're living the Jesus way and we're following the example that Jesus laid down for us, then when we make decisions, when we're doing things, we cannot just think about ourselves. Thinking about ourselves is the opposite of the Jesus way. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So if we're going to walk the Jesus way, we're going to walk in love, that starts with thinking about other people. Thinking about how my decisions with my time, my decisions with my money, my decisions of where I am, of what I'm doing, and just everything in life, we need to be thinking about other people. There's an old story concerning the Salvation Army that's just coming to my attention. And as the Salvation Army began to expand and began to go all around the world, you know, the leadership wanted to send a message to all those that were out on the field in all of these foreign countries, and wanted to send a message by telegram. And then they realized that, you know, every letter, every word cost a certain amount of money, and this was going to go out to a lot of different people, you know, sending this telegram. And so the message started off kind of lengthy, and then they realized that this is going to be way too much money. We need to shorten this. And it got down to from a paragraph to a sentence. And then they calculated the cost of sending a telegram to all of their Salvation Army posts around the world, and they realized it's just still too much money. We don't want to spend this much money. So they reduced their message down to one word. Others, and sent that out to their entire, you know, regiment and every station around the world. We have one message for you, others. Because if love can be defined, come on, 1 John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. And we don't even know God if we don't love. And our love for God, really, truly, if you read through the Gospel of John and you read through 1 John, and if you're following along Daily Chapel, we're going to be reading through 1 John this week. The message is that love of God is expressed in love for other people. How can you say that you love God whom you've never seen if you hate your brother whom you do see? Love for God is expressed in our love for other people. So truly, when I'm making a decision, I can't just make a decision out of selfish ambition and follow Christ. The Jesus way is to value others above ourselves and to look to the interests of others more than ourselves. Selfishness is the source of all division and strife in the world. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, are written by John the Apostle. The person that we could easily say was the closest person on earth to Jesus. Let's say outside of his mother, okay? But of his followers, of his disciples, John. John's the one who survived all of the persecution of that first century while the others were martyred. John, they couldn't even kill him. And it said that as John finished out his life, John, who wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos, And for most of my life, I believed that John died on the Isle of Patmos, but that's not true. After that emperor died, John went back to Ephesus. And John is a very, very old man. The Apostle John would just sit in a chair in the church meetings. And they would defer to him as being the elder, the eldest of the elder, the only one among them to ever, you know, to walk and be with Jesus, one of the apostles. Come on, the one whom Jesus loved, the very closest one to Jesus. And they would ask John, do you have anything to say to the congregation? And he said, little children, love one another was always his message. And John wrote this, 1 John 3, verse 16. He said, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And this is how we lay down our lives. For whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, but if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us his commandment. According to John, love is action. Love can be defined as doing something or giving something beneficial to another person that costs me something. That could be my time, my money, or something else. But love, by definition, is doing or giving something beneficial to another person. In other words, it has to help them. It has to assist them. It has to benefit them. You know, not like some of the Christmas presents you receive. Some of us receive Christmas presents from relatives that don't know us very well. Therefore, they bought us things that we didn't really want or couldn't really use. And they, you know, they get set aside, right? Or they get re-gifted. But if you really love somebody and you want to express love, you need to do something that would actually benefit them, that would actually be useful to them, that would actually help them. And then in doing so, that has to cost me something. If it's an action of love, love always costs me something. Costs me time, costs me money, costs me a possession. It has to be costly. You know, love cost Jesus his life, you see. And boy, didn't we benefit from that. It's the ultimate action of love. Love is sacrificial. Our love for others cannot be just words. Looking back on my life, looking back on our ministry, we've had some people who have gushed. You know what I mean by gushed? Like this gushy, mushy, you know, kind of like me. Susan. You know, Mr. Softy, Mr. Gushy, Mr. Huggy, Mr. Cryy. I'm trying. But I've had people just gush all over me about how much they love me and how I was the best pastor in the whole entire world. And it wasn't days. It wasn't weeks later that I was being stabbed in the back by that same person. I thought you loved me. You said you loved me. You gushed all over me. But what I have found is love is a whole lot more than saying I love you. Now, it's important to say, I love you. The important people in our life need to hear, I love you. But if I love you is not backed up with the, you know, a corresponding action, it's empty words. There's a lot of boys said, I love you, to a lot of young ladies. And that's as far as I'm going to go. Love is action. Love is doing something. Love is sacrificial. So here's what we're going to do this month. Starting tomorrow, I'm asking our congregations in Milan and in Cameron and in Chillicothe, I'm going to ask us to fast and pray for these 2 weeks. And you know, you can go beyond that, but that's what I'm asking us to do. I'm going to ask us to seriously consider our lives. And I might as well just give the details of this. Here's what I'm asking us to do. I'm asking us to fast from food, which almost at this moment in my life, almost has become almost disgusting to me. Obviously not quite. Somebody said, boy, Pastor, you look so fit and trim and no. I wore black on purpose today because it makes you look. I had to find a jacket that I could actually button today. I had to go deep into the, you know, where my old jackets are, you know. Found one. No. Food almost, not quite, because obviously I'm still shoveling it in. But I'm asking us to fast from food. That could be a total abstinence for a certain period of time. Perhaps you might skip meals, or maybe you restrict your diet in some way. I'm not going to eat X or Y or whatever that might be. Or I'm only going to eat certain things. So I don't even want to tell you how to fast. I think you would know how to fast and what would benefit you or what the Lord's directing you to do. But one thing for sure is you're going to spend less money on food for a couple of weeks. Is that right? Then I'm also going to ask you to fast unnecessary spending. Like obviously the light bill needs to be paid. Obviously you've got to take care of your obligations. You do need to feed your family. But most of us do a lot of spending that has nothing to do with necessities. Can you agree with me on that? We don't even think about it. We stop here, we stop there, we do this, we do that. But I want you to seriously just only buy things for the next couple of weeks that you only need. Nothing else. You say, well, I'm going to miss a sale. There'll be another one. I promise there'll be another one. And then I also want us to fast our media time, our media consumption. Maybe total fast days, partial. You know, I know some of you go offside off of social media, that sort of thing. But I want you to seriously restrict your internet, your television, your smartphone, that sort of thing. And again, I want you to self-regulate all of that. But one thing we're going to do is we're going to be saving some money for the next couple of weeks. Because we're not spending things that we don't need. We're not spending extra on food. We're being, you know, thrifty. And here's what I want us to do. I want us to do 1 John 3. And I have a project for us. I asked Todd Powers, would you throw those pictures up for me, please? I asked Todd if he had a project that would be a few thousand dollars that our churches could get involved with. And he sent me this project. These children that you see here became orphans in 2008. There's a cyclone that went through Myanmar and just wiped out whole entire villages. And all of these children lost their parents. They have no parents. They're complete total orphans. And they live in Myanmar just outside of Yangon, where Empower International has their headquarters in Myanmar. And these children live in an orphanage that was built then, but it was built, you know, real quickly because of the need. And honestly, that building that you see right there is already in desperate need of repairs. There's things inside the building. They didn't have time to get pictures for me for that. But just the bedding, some of the other fixtures, the roof really needs to be done right and that sort of thing. But that project is going to be somewhere between $4,000 to $6,000. And I said, we'll take it. Whatever it costs, we'll do that. And what I'm asking you to do is bring special offerings for the month of January. Bring in additional. I don't mean take your tithe and then just mark it orphans. I mean, bring us the tithe because that pays all the bills and does all the things we've already obligated ourselves to, including all of our missions giving. We give thousands of dollars every month to missionaries, including these orphans, okay? But this is a special project. As a matter of fact, I'm believing God that in this next 12 months that our church is going to be so blessed that we'll be able to give. I don't want to shock people, but do you understand? We give thousands and thousands of dollars every month to missionaries and to help the poor and that sort of thing because you're so generous. Isn't that awesome? But I want to get to the point where our church is able to give $100,000 a year away. Can you get on board with that? We're not that far away from that, so that wouldn't take a great deal of increase, would it? But wouldn't that be awesome? So let's just start right here, and let's give some extra right now. So I'm going to ask you to seriously consider what the Lord wants you to do in loving these orphans. Now, these kids are smart. You know, I just think almost all kids are smart, to be honest with you, if given the right opportunity. These kids were snatched away. They have no parents, but almost every one of them are honor students. All of them are Christ followers, and we want to send them back to their villages to be leaders in their community, and we want to be a blessing to them. So let's bring in special offerings. You can start bringing them Wednesdays and Sundays, or you can use your application and just type in your credit card numbers, your debit card numbers, and just send us your offering, however it works for you. But I want to raise, and again, we'll let you know every week how we're doing. We'll let them know in Milan. We'll let them know in Cameron how we're doing. But I want to raise at least a minimum of $5,000. As a matter of fact, really in my heart, to just tell you the truth, what I'd really like to do is give them $10,000. But that'll be up to you, won't it? That'll be up to us, won't it? And so let's do that together. Can I get an amen for that? All right. Let's wrap this up today. What's the so what from today? What is it that I'm really asking you to do? Did you notice in here, in 1 John 3, because I'm telling you, we want our prayers answered. We want the abundant life. We want to be blessed. After we go through this whole month of January, we started last week of considering the Jesus way. In February, we're going to do a series of messages, the blessed life. But you can't have the blessed life unless you're living the Jesus way. And so I want us to seriously consider our lives. I want us to seriously consider, am I really an authentic follower of Jesus Christ? And I think that deserves some fasting and praying and seeking the will of God. But if you notice here in these scriptures, it says that as we walk in love, as we're generous towards other people, we're not just thinking about ourselves. It says our heart will not condemn us. And if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I want to have confidence in my prayer life, and confidence in my prayer life starts with living the Jesus way. Starts with following Jesus. Starts with walking in love towards other people. Starts thinking about, you know what, I have excess. What I'd like for us to do this month of January is just look through our house, look through our closets, look at our life, and look at the excess and find people to give away that excess stuff to. Find somebody that needs it a whole lot more than just sitting in a closet somewhere gathering dust. And I bet we could give thousands of dollars worth of stuff away to well-deserving people if we would just do it. If we would think about other people instead of just ourselves. And wouldn't that be the Jesus way? Jesus said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples because you love. And love is something that we do. Love is doing something beneficial for somebody in need, and it costs me something. It's thinking about somebody else, not just me. So if you came in this morning thinking, I wonder what he has for me today, you came in with the absolute, total wrong attitude. Because that's not the Jesus way. The Jesus way isn't me, 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 me. What do you have for me? You're not meeting my needs. You're not feeding me. That's what Lady says. And we're so immature, we validate it. We love it. We want her to do it more. Now, if my kids did that, they might have, come on, but it's a grandchild. But that's what I want to say. So all of that self-interested, self-consumed, consumer Christianity that we have in the world today has nothing to do with following Jesus. And if you don't know who to give your stuff to, one, pray the Lord will show you. But two, bring it here and we'll find somebody. Wouldn't that be amazing? Right? The lobby was just stockpile full of stuff. Looking for homes, well-deserving homes. How many of you'd rather have a cluttered hallway than a perfectly manicured, beautiful... I'm creating problems for the rest of the staff when I do this. They're looking at me like... Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So as we fast and pray, I have very specific instructions from the Lord. Number one, don't tell everybody you're fasting and praying. Don't make it your wall post. I'm fasting and praying. Look at me, Mr. Holy. Because Jesus addressed that. He said, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. I say they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. I've got one word from God for this year. It's joyful. I want us to be so joyful during this season of fasting, people are thinking we're eating cinnamon rolls every morning. And queso dip at lunch. And T-bone steaks every night for dinner. Because in Zechariah 8, one of my favorite passages of all time, verse 18, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast, and he set out all these months of fasting, the fast shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. I can't tell you how excited I am to deny myself. Because, look, there's an appropriate time to feast. We've done that. And now it's a time to fast. And we ought to be as equally excited about that part of our life. To reset ourselves towards the things of God. And there's a self-evaluation test. You're not going to turn it in. So I want you to rate yourself. And if you've got low scores, those need to be moved up. I said, if you've got some zeros, ones, twos, and threes, those need to become fives, sixes, and sevens. Can you say amen? Because those are like bare minimum Christ-following kinds of things. And so I just think we ought to judge ourselves like the Bible says and ask the Lord's grace to help us improve in those areas where we need help. So everybody... grab yourself one of those planners. If you don't have an individual one, you know, husbands and wives both need one. Everybody in the room, I think we have enough for everybody. I want you to evaluate. Here's what we're going to do the last thing today. The most exciting part of the service. There's people in the room that need to call in the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved today. Man, this will be a day that you'll remember the rest of your life. the very first Sunday of 2016, I gave my life to Jesus. Don't leave this room without making that life-altering, eternal decision. Call in the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved today. In fact, why don't we all bow in prayer and let's pray for that one person. If it's one, what if it was you? Which one of the rest of us praying that you could make that decision today? I know there's at least one person that needs to give their life to Jesus today. And perhaps there's several. But boy, we would pause for a few moments for one, wouldn't we? Jesus said we ought to leave the 99 and go after the one. And that's what we're doing right now. Father, I pray that you move upon the hearts and the minds and the lives and the will of even one person that needs to call in the name of the Lord Jesus today and be saved. Lord, I pray for courage. Satan, we bind you now, and you will not hold this person back from giving their life completely to Jesus Christ today. Lord, I pray for courage for that one who needs to call in the name of the Lord Jesus right now. And Father God, I'm praying for dozens who really need to recommit their life to the Lord, like the prodigal, and come back home, ready to serve. So I pray for dozens that need to make that decision right now. Lord, I pray that that decision would be sealed in their heart by the Holy Spirit right now. And again, we say, Satan, take your hands off of God's people. Release them. The deception, the confusion, is broken now in Jesus' name. Call in the name of the Lord. Begin to follow him again today. Father God, hear and answer these prayers we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand up to our feet. If you need to call in the name of the Lord Jesus, would you come down here right now so we can pray for you? We love you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night for Focus. Sign up for dinner so we know who's coming. And have a blessed week. God bless you. We love you.